And Natalie was just, when she was about 10 years old, I began to realize, oh my goodness, I have asked the Lord for a little girl. He's given me a little girl. Pretty soon she's going to be dating. And I panicked. And so I began to pray that God would give me a promise for her, that he would assure me that she was going to go through all these years and come out with the glory of God on her. And I'd like to ask you to go to Isaiah, because as I prayed, the Lord once again gave me three promises. And of course, each time I'd go back and I'd say, but Lord, I want one specifically for her. And each time the Lord gave me a promise for all my children. I'm so thankful today that he did that. And he showed me three times with three promises for all my children. In Isaiah 54 and 13, he says, all your sons will be taught by the Lord. And look at this. And great will be the peace of your children. Or some translations will say, great will be your children's peace. And then if you look in Isaiah 59:21, he says, my spirit who is on you and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forever. And then in Psalm 61:9, all who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. Now those promises became really, really important to me as Natalie began to get ill. Because remember, I had promised the Lord that I would raise her, I would train her for 18 years. When she was 18 years old, she transferred to Baylor University as a junior honor student. She had a 4.0. She had sang in Texas prisons. She had sang in citywide crusades and shared her testimony. I'd done a pretty good job. Shortly after her 18th birthday, she got sick. And I want you to know, there was a time when I went to God and I said, now listen, God. This wasn't what I made a deal for. I did pretty good with my first 18 years. And it was like it was all downhill from there. And God said, look, you made her pretty on the outside. You did all these things to teach her to you know, but now let me give her the strength. Let me make her usable so that she's not just to sit on a shelf. And Natalie began to get sick, and we continued to go on with her plans because we didn't think that it was serious. And I certainly didn't, and I'd been through crisis before. As a pastor's wife, you don't make it without crisis, right? At one time I had a stress stroke and I lost the vision in my left eye. And there'd been a lot of things like that through life, and I thought I really knew what it was all about, and I thought I'd been through the fire. But as Natalie became sicker, I would go to the Lord and I'd say, Lord, I don't understand this, and I didn't. But I'm so glad today, and I was so glad then, that I had the promises that God had given me. Because after going all day with Natalie, and then I'd go in at night, and of course I would assure her, and she would, I want you to understand that for about 3 years, Natalie was in and out of it before she finally went over the edge, is what doctors thought. Three times they told us to call the family in, that she wasn't going to live. And what I did, I called friends who were prayer warriors. We didn't call the family in. I got on the phone and I called a few, very select people that I knew if I called and said, pray for us, they weren't going to tritely say, okay, and hang up the phone and forget about it. I called people that I knew would go in the prayer closet. I called people that I knew already had a hotline between them and God. I didn't want anyone who had to spend time saying, okay, God, it's me, remember me, I want to pray. You know, I prayed last year, you know, or last week, and I want to talk to you about Natalie. I wanted somebody who went in and said, God, it's me, and I'm coming to you on behalf of Natalie. And three times they prayed us through. And then the doctors told us, they said, you're going to have to institutionalize her. She'll never have her mind again. And I called my husband. And, of course, I asked him, I said, honey, what, you know, come quickly. And he was trying to make a living through all this. And her insurance had canceled. And needless to say, expenses were mounting. And he had pastored and he had to give that up and go to work. And now he works 7 days a week. He pastors and he works as a cattle broker, selling just like a real estate broker. But he would come quickly to my side in Dallas, and every chance he got, he was there. And we would pray, and we would go to the doctors, and we'd say, it's just not what God said to do. It's not God's will. We're not giving up on God. It wasn't that we weren't giving up on Natalie, and it wasn't that we weren't giving up on doctors. It was that we weren't giving up on God. And we knew the promises that God had given us for the children. And I would go to God, and I would say, Lord, you promised peace. You told me great would be the peace of my children. And I would say, where's the peace? Tell me. Where is the peace? Look at her. And, you know, that's all I had was the word that God had given me. And then it said he had promised me that the words, his words, would not depart out of her mouth. She couldn't even whisper. She didn't speak coherently. She didn't have any words in her mouth. And I would go and I would say, Lord, you promised that your words would not depart out of her mouth. And look at her. She can't even speak. And if she could speak above a whisper, it wouldn't be coherent. And I want to tell you today that when Natalie came out of this, she had had years of training in piano. She did not remember how to play the piano. When she opened her mouth, every verse, every chapter, every bit of God's word that she'd ever committed to memory came out perfectly. It was incredible that the Lord had kept his promise, and I'm here to tell you, God keeps his promise. He keeps his word. The scripture says every promise that God gives us is yes, and he's faithful to keep it. But back to the third promise that the Lord had given me, and I'd like to look at that one again because I want to be sure I get it right. Isaiah 61:9. And look at the last part of that scripture. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. Now, I used to look at her rolling on the floor, hugging a teddy bear and screaming. And when she would come to herself, she would realize what she was doing, and she would go and lock herself. She would lock the bedroom door and then go into the closet, lock the bathroom door and go into the closet. And so she didn't want us to hear her screaming, but yet she couldn't keep from it. And she had a bed made in the closet that she would go and lay on. And the neighbors had dogs, and she would wail so loud that the neighbors' dogs would howl. And I used to would go outside, and I would walk around the house, and there was one fence that I couldn't get through. But I would walk from that fence in the middle of the night around the house and out back. And I know those neighbors in Dallas thought those were the craziest people. Somebody screamed all the time, and then there's this woman out walking around the house with her hands in the air praying. And I had every emotion that you can imagine with God. I was angry at him, and I would tell him about it. And then I would beg him to do something. And I did all this walking around this house in the middle of the night. And I'm sure everyone saw me. But that was the place, and I'm so thankful, that was the place that my father had taught me to go, to take everything to the Lord. But I would look at this and I'd go, Lord, who's going to look at her and say she's blessed? Look at her, Lord. She's a mess. Her body's gone. Her brain is gone. How can anyone look at her and say she's blessed? And aren't you glad that God sees the other side? God knew what he was doing. He saw that tapestry from the top, and I saw the knots and the gnarls and the pieces of thread hanging from the bottom. He saw that clay, that ceramic clay pot, after it had been through the fire. I saw it in the heat of the fire and didn't understand why God would do this. And I used to ask him, God, why? Why did you give her to me? And in that time when I told you I went through every emotion, I actually asked God to take her home. Because I said, Lord, if she's going to be like this, take her out of her misery. Take her home. Don't let her lay here and suffer. And I'm so glad that God didn't answer that prayer. Because we have the best time now. And we've always, as she told you, I was her mom, I was her teacher, I was her boss, and then I ended up was her nurse. And you might ask why we have these videos.